Book of Matthew, chapter 7, reading verses 1 to 5. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, you shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider it not the beam that is in thine own eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eyes. But now we are entering into the last chapter of the Lord's teaching, which is called Sermon on the Mount. In the book of Matthew. So in the 5 and 6 we see different things what the Lord has taught to his disciples. But now when we are coming to the close, there are different applications of our life on a regular basis what we all need for our individual lives and also our corporate lives. Lord has taught the disciples. And this is a matter which is of very important for all of us. And as a natural man, we have a depravity of judging people across the board. And we don't leave anyone, and we form opinion, and we decide, then pass the judgment. And knowing the heart of a fallen man, and our Lord has exhorted his disciples how they need to do this very carefully, and while doing so, how they need to conduct their lives. And that is why it is very important for all of us to understand. But I also wanted to confess before you, when I am sharing these things, it doesn't mean that I have overcome this problem. But that means it is naturally, we all have had this problem, but we need to be conscious of our fallen nature while we act upon this subject, and also on a regular basis when we deal with our lives and also with others. And we see here the Lord in the first verse, judge not that you be not judged. And the second verse, and for what judgment you judge, then accordingly we will also be judged. And while doing so, that we also need to examine what kind of things are in our life before we see in the others' lives. And if we do not take careful action on the things which we have, but only we are quick enough to pass the judgment in the others' lives, and in verse 5 the Lord says, thou hypocrite. That means he is an actor. So he behaves as if he doesn't have any problems or faults. And he is a very wonderful, righteous, holy, perfect person. And he deals with other people that they are all not perfect or correct. So that kind of a life is not good for that individual person. And also it is detrimental for our corporate or church lives. So this is in these 5 verses, that is what the Lord was speaking. But in every verse, there is something that we can learn. The meaning judge, in Greek it is called krino. That means putting things in proper place. Or deciding the things what it need to be and where it needs to be. And that is the meaning of a judge. And by judgment itself is not... In these verses, it looks like our Lord did not allow any kind of judgments to be passed by us, but that is not the case. We will see those things. But what he wanted to say is, in verse 2, what measure you meet, you shall be measured to you again. That means the way you judge, you will also be judged or judged by the Lord in the same manner. So you have the opportunity, you may have the opportunity where God keeps you in the positions. You will have to do that. But when you do that, and you may have to be conscious of what the Lord would approve. But when there is no need of we passing a judgment on others, and that is absolutely not required and not to be done at all. And when we carefully do that exercise, and there is a great blessing in the, for the heart of the person and also whom we are dealing with, and both the people, both the parties will have a great blessing in that kind of a careful, conscious exercise. So when the Lord says, judge not, be ye not judged, so when you look at the book of James chapter 2, verse 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that he hath showed no mercy. Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So while passing the judgment, if you show mercy, and that is what the Lord would expect. And if we do not show any mercy while passing the judgment, we will also have the same kind of judgment will be passed by against us by the Lord. And if you show mercy while passing the judgment, and that will rejoice it over. That means that is the heart of God. So when you have to pass a judgment, if that is needed to be done, when you do so, then if it is tempered with mercy and a tender care, then the Lord will honor that judgment and it will bring the restoration to the heart of a person. And book of Galatians chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So bear one another burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So suppose in a situation where you find a brother is overtaken by a fault, and you have to now come to make a decision about that brother, and if that decision and then ultimately leading to a judgment, and that judgment is needed to be tempered with mercy, and towards the end result of restoration of that brother. So the word restoration here means mending. That means if in the fishing nets, when you go for fishing, the nets are broken by the raw, the stone, pebbles and the small stones. And once the fishing is done, the fisherman brings the nets back to the shore and see if there is anything which are broken. He carefully sieves that back and brings back to the restoring position where he can use it. So that is the meaning of restoring there. And if I deal or we deal with a brother with a, such a kind of an approach or a desire, and while doing so the judgment, an approach towards the showing mercy to the end result of restoring that brother, that person, then that is how God would approve. But if my judgment is to so forth that I am superior, I am better, and I can function much better than you in a given situation, like whatever the person was going through, and that is not acceptable, that is what it means, Matthew chapter 7 verse 1, don't judge. So when the Lord says judge not, and with a heart of fallen nature dominating in a person, with that nature, you don't judge the person. But with a change of nature, filled with mercy towards the brother, a heart towards the restoration of the brother's fallen condition, and when you are able to understand the heart of that person who needs to be judged, then you approach him in a gentle manner. If we are in a condition to show forth that mercy, the way the Lord would do that, and when we are stepping into that kind of a platform, what the Lord would do with that brother for the restoration of that brother, and to arrest the any kind of a more problem or not to spread any kind of a situation with their brother into other serious consequences. And we have to understand that and do accordingly. And in that condition, and we are all allowed to do so. So my heart, if it raises to a level of what the Lord would do, and understand that condition, and then even if I understand many times, if in my words, if I am not able to function accordingly and deal with the brother or a sister gently manner, then even if I understand, if I don't function, then if I am not in a position to function more graceful, a merciful manner, then I don't want to step in. Then the thirdly, even when you do with an understanding and functionally if you are able, the result should be how I should bring back the brother, not to condemn him, but to restore him. And that should be the approach in deciding the factors concerning the brother. And while doing so, in my heart, whatever the way I have a habit of deciding things on my emotions or my impulsive things, based upon my own understanding and the knowledge, sometimes those things may not be suitable to understand why a particular person has acted in such a manner and that needed to be judged. And those, that person's inner feelings of the heart or the conditions in which the person in person's life is prevailing, when I am not able to sense those things, I will not be able to make a right decision concerning any person. So now you see that we need to understand the condition of our heart, and also we should be able to understand the person's heart, why he did do so. Otherwise, all our decisions concerning the other people will go wrong. And even when we make a proper understanding of the situations, when a person particularly going in a different situations, and if my heart is not ready to deal with the brother or the sister in a merciful manner, then the Lord says, you judge not. Then you just refrain from doing so. Now it is a very difficult condition than when we come into more and more understanding the nature of the fallen man and our own lives. And then that is touched by the mercies of the Lord in everyday life. In a given situation, how God has restored our lives, when we are conscious of that and dealing with the brothers and sisters and other people as well, then our decision making continues to change. And you more and more you will see the graceful and the tender hearted, the merciful words, and ultimately yielding to the restoration of those people. And the Lord will bless that life. So within us, and we all come short of that nature, but when we understand how Lord dealt with us, and how the Lord would deal with the other person, and then we understand the motives of the person's heart and our heart, then bring the Lord in between and how he would want us to deal with, then accordingly make a decision and with a tender care and a loving manner deal with the brother and sister. Then if our heart reaches to that level of dealings, then we get, then you judge. That is what James was saying in James 2 verse 13. And as we also read in book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So that mercy, to show, instead of passing the judgment, and making the brother condemned, and making the things much worse for that person, and when we are able to deal with a lot of mercy towards the restoration of that brother, and in a situation where we are likely to fall, it is not that today we are good, we may not commit any of mistakes in the future, but the Lord would also deal with us in such a tender care and merciful manner. In the book of 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 26. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, with the froward thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people will say, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. So those are all the conditions of a heart in all of us may have at one time or other. But the Lord is looking that how we can really bring to a right way of our heart condition, and which enables us to understand the heart of other person, and how God would give us the grand wisdom to deal with that particular situation and a brother or a person, than to bring the restoration to the heart of a person than to condemn and judge. I'll come back to Matthew 7. Verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider it not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? So in doing the judgment, when it is required to do so, and this is also a condition which we need to examine, as I previously explained. So in our condition, if there is a beam in our eye, then there is a big in size, but the mote is something like a size of a grain or a small speck and or a stack. And comparatively, it is totally contrary to the size to one another. So, the person, for example, in the Pharisee and the publican who came to the temple to pray. So that publican, Pharisee, who was praying, but though he is supposed to keep his heart towards the Lord in the temple, but he was conscious of the person who was there standing outside the temple and not even having a courage to come inside and pray. And that person was just passing on the judgment. I am not like this publican. So if that is the heart, that means that person has got a beam in his eye and never bothered to examine his heart to before passing on the judgment. And he says, don't get into that kind of a situation. So in the beginning of our spiritual life, that we are very careful about these matters, not to do those things. But once the Lord is blessing us and coming much closer, walk with the Lord and understanding the deeper things of the Lord, and more we see other people are not showing same kind of an interest or zeal to walk with the Lord, and when we start noticing the failures in the other brothers' lives, then that is the problem where we land into these verses 3 and 4. So there is a tendency in a person's heart, slowly because of that religious activity as he come in, the number of years passed by, the things he understood, the things which he passed, he is able to practice, and automatically the way he conducts himself in a manner. But in the heart, there is not much change. These are all outwardly happening because of the certain situations or the systems which a man easily practices and able to perform. But what the Lord was looking, Lord was looking at the heart of a man. And if your heart is filled with the tender care and mercies, the nature of the Lord, then we will not be quick enough to do any kind of a judgment about others. But when my heart slowly started rejoicing on the activity of my Christian life, either an understanding or practicing outwardly, and not able to draw the strength from within by the power of the Spirit to live in, then my life is likely to move towards the Phariseeism. And that is much more dangerous. And that is how in Luke chapter 18, the prayer of a self-righteous man has judged the publican who was standing outside. So in judging, and that is what in the after a period of time, then if we do not guard our lives and how we are dealing with our heart towards the other people, then the situation will arise in verses 3 and 4. So while in these 5 verses, the Lord speaks of the spirit of a man, how it is not only the fallen condition or the depravity of nature which continue, which was there before the new birth and after the new birth. And if we do not really bring that into the subjection of the Lord and put it on the cross and not ruled by the newness of life by allowing the Lord to take charge of our lives, or we surrender our lives to Him, then that life which continues to take hold and lead us and made us to look in a different, with a different eye towards the other people, then there is a very subtle danger of landing that kind of a situation. Though we have a beam in our eye and we are very eager to look into the small specks in the other's eyes. We should be careful in our lives in not to do so. And if we do so, then the Lord said, it is verse 5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. So when we examine our lives, now, if there is anything which is large part is blind because of the beam, but we are continually ignoring, but we are drawing enough joy in judging others, and that is called hypocrisy. See, when I have some problem in my life, and to justify my action, I have a tendency to criticize or judge others, so that my heart is drawing satisfaction that I am not like them, but the problem which I have, the way I did it in that situation, is much better than theirs. That is how the man has got a tendency to draw the justification and support his own actions, and not instead of showing mercy to the other people. So if my heart is filled with beam and not able to clearly see the light in the light of God, then I am completely oblivious to the nature in which I am prevailing or living in. Then that will cause a problem, and I am not able to understand properly my fallen condition before I see the condition of the brothers. So if I wanted to justify my own actions, then I try to find others' faults and continue to pass those kind of judgments against others. So how many times we see when we wrongfully talk or pass the judgments about others? That is the most important matter we need to examine in our hearts. So I would like to take a couple of examples from the scripture in these different scenarios, how the scripture is advising us in those conditions may be useful for us. So book of Romans chapter 2. So I'm reading from verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, and that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? So here, Paul was talking or arguing with the Jewish people. And the Gentiles, without the law, they were not following, they were doing different things, like worshipping idols, then man, then beast, then animals, and everything in a very depravity of the nature of the man, and totally reject, have not given any thought how they were created and how, why did they come into this world and what was the purpose. And because they were living in a different kind of life, the Jewish people, though they have oracles of God, and everything God has given a revelation, then how they need to conduct their lives, though they don't live that life, but they were judging the Gentiles. So Paul was mentioning that when you are not doing properly in a given light what it is given, then how are you going to judge, how you can judge the Gentiles? You cannot judge that. But if you are living properly as per the law, then that is a different situation, then you have the right to do so. But when you don't live in a way you are given, and they did not have that one, but you cannot expect them to do what you are doing it. So now the judgment is here, Paul was condemning them because they were supposed to do what they are, and without doing that, and they are doing others, those who are not doing. So now, in my heart, whatever the light God has given me, when I am doing, and I have the, if we wanted to say it in, with a merciful manner, with a burden, they also should have a proper understanding, that is a different thing. But if I condemn them, even without doing so, and that is not acceptable, or that is not a decision in a person's life acceptable in the sight of God. So now that is between the Jewish people and the Gentiles. But now when we see in the Christendom, and God has given different light to the different people, and people work in a different ways, and everybody is working in the vineyard of the Lord. But generally, when we see a different one denomination criticizes the other denomination, and I'm not saying that one is better than the other or the other is better than the another, but they have a different understanding, and accordingly they do it. So in a given understanding, that if suppose you have a better understanding, and when you are criticizing the others, when you are supposed to function with a better understanding and not functioning, and when you are criticizing or judging the others, those who are not doing, and that is not acceptable in the sight of God. And this is one scenario that we all will fall in. And when we come from different backgrounds, and when we ask where you gather and what you do, what you believe, how you live, then immediately we form in our heart then what kind of a spiritual status they have, or what is the heart spiritual condition of that particular person's life. And it is easy with the outward things which you gather the information, you will immediately come to a conclusion, this is the person's life, and better than this we cannot expect anything from this. But that is what Paul was saying, not right. But everyone has, according to, we don't know why the Lord has not given everyone the same thing. But according to their understanding, as the Lord deals with them and leads them and works for the Lord in their understanding, whatever it is right to them, and we should learn to leave it to that. And this has taken a lot of time in my heart, in my life, to come to this understanding and conclusion, you know, and put it into the practice. And in the beginning, that was, I was in one fellowship where they felt, because of that, I also felt that we have a better and a superior understanding than many denominations. Then, within that, I started understanding little better than, or little different than others, I'm not saying better. Then I thought, where I was, it was not right. And after that, then I started criticizing, and I felt they were not doing right. Then I passed on the judgments. I am extremely sorry for that. But later on, I realized through one of the passages, the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 38. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. So John has stopped him from casting out the demons in the name of Lord Jesus Christ because of one reason. That person did not follow that group. So Jesus Christ was already moved ahead a few steps. And John and other people are just following. And John on the way saw a person who was casting out the demons by the name of the Lord. Then he immediately stopped him. He said, you cannot do this. But the Lord said, you should not do so, John. And if he is doing in my name, then he is still on our side. Then you see the heart of the Lord and you see the heart of John. Then it took a lot of time in my life to come to that understanding and learn to keep quiet and say, that means that it is, that is what you understood and that is what I understand, and you are also working for the same Lord. I also wanted to live for the same Lord. Let us together glorify the name with whatever the light and understanding we have. And we need to, it is very difficult to accept a heart that you feel, I feel, that whatever I know that everybody should believe. And that is the man's heart. And every time we question people, why don't you believe? Why don't you understand? Why don't you do this? As if we are the masters of their lives. And the book of Romans, chapter 14. So reading from verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be whole enough, for God is able to make him stand. So, yesterday also we have seen, read this passage. In an assembly in Rome, this is the situation. So there are also two groups, and both are coming from different backgrounds, but both became Christians. Both accepted the Lord, and one master for both of them. And one group of people say, you cannot eat meat because of that food habits which are mentioned in the Old Testament. And the Gentile background people who became Christians, they say, we can eat. So now the dispute is between what to eat and what not to eat. So those who are eating, judging the people who are not eating. And those who are not eating, judging the people who are eating. And that is a very peripheral matter. It has got nothing to do with any spiritual edification. Whatever we eat and drink, it all will be gone. So those matters, when is taken over by the fallen nature of a man, and ultimately leading into the passing the judgment one against the other, bringing the disharmony and breaking that unity of functionality in the assembly life. And now those peripheral matters, which are not very important at all, has taken over the main matter that we have forgotten, that we are all under the one master. And we all need to learn to love each other. So the problem here is, the Jewish people, Jewish converts have a problem to accept the Gentile converts because of their food, culture and other habits. And the Gentile converts have a difficulty and a problem in accepting the Jewish converts because of their life and other food habits. Those are all outward things. So as long as we do not really understand, for both our lives, Jews and Gentiles, the Master is one. And if that same Master, we do not learn to submit our lives, then we continue to develop a different opinion and decisions and decide things about others other than what the Lord would want us to do. Then that will bring us into a problem. Now you see a heart that is very detrimental for us to function as one group of people in any given assembly. And there are problems with the different assemblies and a different understanding people. But within the assembly, there is another problem than how a person was joined to that locality and their backgrounds, their languages, their cultures, their habits. Based upon that, one group to another group continue to pass the judgment. So we are forgetting one thing, what he said here is, verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. So either the eating person or not eating person, both do not own each other. They both belong to one master. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. So the person who is eating do not have the right to judge the other person. The person who does not eat do not have the right to judge the person who is eating. So when that is where in the beginning I said, when we have to make a judgment or that kind of a situation where we are in, if our heart is not able to understand the thoughts and the prevailing condition of a person, then we tend to make a mistake. Then oftentimes this is what we all get into. When we draw conclusions about the language, color, and the different way of conducting our lives outwardly, and these are all actually do not matter at all, our inward condition, where our Lord reigns in our hearts and lives, and one Lord, one Master, and one life, and that should overtake everything. And that should be the principal leading of our coming together and worshipping the Lord. Then when we move on, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 4, I'm reading first few verses. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of the darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. So here in first chapter we notice in the Corinth church there are groups. So one affiliated to the name of Peter, and another affiliated to the group name of Apollo, and then another group affiliated to Paul. So while talking about those groups and how they are doing, and Paul said in chapter 3, verse 5, who then is Paul, who is Apollos, both ministers of whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? through whatever the Lord gave to Paul, whatever the Lord gave to Apollo. Accordingly, they did it, and you believe. Verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So the increase did not come from Paul or Peter or Apollos. The increase came from God. And either Paul or Peter or Apollo, they did what they are supposed to do. That's it. But the growth has come from the blessing of the Lord. Now at the end, in the same chapter, we see here, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work and what sort of it is. So now you don't fight who is great between Paul, Peter and Apollos. Let everybody do the work, and that work will be revealed. And now you are passing judgment between yourself and who is, my affiliation is better, and I am affiliated to Paul and he is much better than Peter. You don't fight like that. So you already made a decision in your heart, and accordingly you are talking about one against the another and pitching one group against another. But at the end, if you wait till the end, then every work will be passed through the judgment. And the judgment will be, that work of the judgment will be with the fire. So if it will stay, it will be built upon a rock and with precious stones, and when it passes through the fire or the judgment, it will remain, and that it will shine, and it will bring glory and honor to the master. Suppose if that work is not built with the precious stones, and hay, wood, stubble, that will all be burnt off. So now you don't fight for that, and let it happen, and it would be judged at the end. So on that context, now the chapter 4, he is saying, verse 1, let a man so account of us. Us means Peter, Apollo and Paul, as the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. So we are all appointed by the Lord in our own way to bring out, to do the work of the Lord, so that we may bring the mysteries concerning our Lord, so that it may all bring glory, it may all help you or edify you. Verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So one thing which we all should have common, he said about three of them, he should be found faithful. So I believe, and he said, it is, that is what we are all. So it is not something that Peter was not faithful or Apollo was not faithful. I am only the faithful. No. That is one thing required, that a steward or the servant of God should be found faithful. Verse 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. So now, the group in Corinth, the Peter's group and the Apollo's group were judging Paul. So it is, Paul was saying, I am being judged by you, that is a very small thing, and it is not required. And he said, judgment, yeah, I judge not my own self. So you are judging me, but if you look at my life, my own self, I don't judge myself. So now you see, understand this one. He said, you are judging me, that is a very small thing. So when I am working, in my work, the way I was working, when 18 months I have been with you, while I was there, I was also making my own thing. And it is not that I have depended upon you. And also, as a steward, I was always found faithful in the sight of God. That means whatever God has given me, with all integrity of my heart I served. And if anything, you are finding something not right with me, and why it was not right also, you don't have an understanding about that. So without those understanding and a heart to properly understand, and whether I am faithful and totally committed to the ministry of the Lord,
and my life was not causing any kind of an obstruction to even be if you, then you have a right to judge. And without knowing all these things, when you are passing a judgment on me, that is a very small thing. That means you are not supposed to do that. Don't do that. Then I don't judge myself. It doesn't mean that he doesn't examine his life. He says, then in a given conditions or situations, whatever the Lord has asked me to do so, I did. For example, while he was in Corinth, he wanted to go away because there was not much response and there was a problem. And the Lord appeared unto him and told him, in this city I have many people. Then he stayed back. And till the Lord told him to move, he did not go. So he was found faithful there. And also with suffering, then he endured everything and he stayed back. So now I know what kind of a heart I did, and with my total integrated, undivided heart I live, and faithfully whatever he has given to my hands, in that 18 months I have delivered it unto you. So when I judge myself, I felt I did whatever the Lord has asked me to do in a place called Corinth. So I did not do anything wrong. It doesn't mean that in other conditions, whatever is the prevailing, other thoughts or other particular different matter, he is not saying that he is absolutely free from any kind of a condemnation or judgment from the Lord. No, he is not saying that. In this situation, in relation to the work at Corinth, the way he conducted himself towards the people at Corinth, and also concerning his ministry, he was talking about that. So now he said, verse 4, for I know nothing by myself. That means I am not feeling that I have not done anything wrong. And I did the way the Lord has asked me, I did everything that. Yet I am not hereby justified. It doesn't mean that if I don't see any mistake in my work, I did everything right. But it is the Lord who is going to judge me. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. So the Lord is going to judge me. So now, if the Lord is going to judge me, he encourages them, therefore, judge nothing before the time. Until the Lord come, who both will bring the light to the hidden things of the darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. So in chapter 3 he said, my work also will be judged. And in chapter 4 he is saying, when the Lord comes, my heart's counsels, thoughts, everything will be brought out. Whatever is not known to you now about my heart, the way I conducted myself in Corinth, that also will be brought out. So even before that all things was brought out, why are you judging me now? Because you don't know what is going on in my heart. It is my master, my Lord, would know, and he would bring that all on that day. So without knowing, if you are passing, deciding something and making a judgment, you don't do that. Then book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. But if we judge ourselves or examine ourselves, we would not be judged. So now, see, from Romans chapter 2, Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 4, if we wanted to come out of all those situations and judging different people in different scenarios, you judge yourself, I judge myself, then we judge ourselves, then we will not be judged. If when we judge ourselves, then when we examine our heart and the Lord brings to our attention then what kind of a heart we have, then we will be able to avoid all those situations, either Romans 2, Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 4. Then largely when we are able to practice that, then our hearts would be maintained clean towards everybody. Then we will not be counted a hypocrite. Then the Lord also will not judge them. So at the end of his life, Paul writes in book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. See now, and he conducted his life in such a manner, and he come to that kind of a confidence. Now the time is up. I have run my race clearly. And while running, not only the work I did it, but the way I maintained the condition of my heart towards other people, towards other workers, towards other groups, everything was clean and clear. Now the righteous judge, that means he doesn't show any kind of a partiality because I was born in a tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day, and I was educated at the feet of Gamaliel, and I was a master of law and all that. Or I did so many things, or I have established so many assemblies. But the judgment is going to come from the condition of the heart. And now he comes to that confidence. And the Lord has worked tremendously. And after so much of ministry, then he was put in prison. And ultimately was killed. And just before ending of his life, he writes this letter. Now a righteous judge knoweth my heart, and he has kept me a crown of righteousness. And not only for me, those who all moved and journeyed in this manner, and they did whatever the Lord has given them, and also they conducted their life the way the Lord would want them, towards other people. And the Lord blessed that. And that is the only course left for us. And in moving towards our progressive onward journey to the Christian life, till the end.